This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Opponents of charter schools are failing to make effective arguments for their anti-charter position. And meantime, the pro-charter side is serving up more convincing arguments. That's the finding of a study done by Michigan State University professors Sarah Reckow and Matt Grossman, along with University of Rochester PhD student Benjamin Evans. Sarah Reckow is an assistant professor of political science at Michigan State. Sarah, what prompted you to conduct this study?
We were interested in the political arguments that we were hearing about charter schools, that it had kind of entered the debate with fairly polarized positions that you would hear opponents of charter schools talk about privatization and for-profit involvement. And it is the case in Michigan that we have a number of for-profit entities involved in running our charter schools. But on the flip side, proponents of charter schools really talking about the freedom from regulation and restrictions that allows charter schools to innovate, and often linking that to the fact that they typically do not employ unionized teachers and therefore have the contracts that involve the regulations that unions negotiate. And so we wanted to see, how does the public really respond when they hear these types of arguments in the context of a survey where we can see how it influences their views?
So tell us how you set up this experiment.
We set it up to have a control group, and that group didn't get any additional information. They were simply asked two questions: how much they supported increasing charter schools in their community, and then how much they would support increasing charter schools in the worst performing districts. And then we had three experimental groups, and people were just randomly selected into these groups, where they were told an additional piece of information and then asked the same two questions. One group was told that more than 80% of charter schools in Michigan employ non-unionized teachers. The next group was told that more than 80% are operated by for-profit companies. And then as a third, in what we saw as less politically inclined frame, we told people that more than 80% are authorized by universities.
And why did you choose those statements, Sarah, to present to these experimental groups?
We drew them from the actual public debate, things that are raised by people who argue about charter schools politically. And I mean, I should add that, you know, we are not looking so much at the response of the public related to educational achievement of charter schools, which is also a very important debate. But we were emphasizing these more political arguments that interest groups and politicians tend to make to see whether the public, you know, that influenced them on its own.
So what did you find?
When people were told that charter schools are, the vast majority of teachers are not unionized, that raised support for charter schools significantly. We can break out the respondents in our survey based on political ideology because we asked them questions about that. And it was quite clear that framing, not surprisingly, was most effective with conservatives. So people who said they were conservative, they, in that experimental condition, were that much more supportive of charter schools. There also is a relationship with how informed people are. So people who knew less about politics were more affected by that information, presumably because they didn't already know it, and our survey provided them with the information. Now, surprisingly to me, the for-profit frame had very little impact. It did not, as I expected, it did not significantly reduce support for charter schools, and I thought that it would.
Hmm. And it certainly seems to deliver a smackdown for unions, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I mean, in the context of recent state politics, such as right to work, it does suggest sort of the continuing role that's playing in our politics, and certainly some skepticism in a large part of the public about the role of unions, and perhaps more so the role of public employee unions.
And why do you think that idea of privatization didn't really bother people?
I have a few hypotheses. One is, you know, we already found that liberals were less supportive of charter schools. Just in our control condition, they had by far the lowest levels of support. So one possibility is that these people already knew that, and so we were not changing anyone's minds. We were not adding new information to anyone. And then for the moderates and sort of moderate-leaning conservatives, they appear to be accepting of that role of for-profits in education. If you think about vast areas of social policy, from health, social services, we do a lot of contracting out in government now. And education arguably is a late arrival to that trend, but it is happening in education as well.
Now, you had a really intriguing finding that people tend to support charter schools in areas that are generally urban and underperforming areas, but they don't think charter schools are necessary in their own communities.
Yes, that was very interesting. There is definitely a gap. And regardless of the condition or what information we told people, it was a consistent result that they were more supportive of charters in, as we called it, the worst performing districts. And I do think there's something going on there, and it's noticeable in where charter schools are most concentrated in the state of Michigan. Detroit, Flint, these cities have a much higher proportion of their students attending charter schools and deal with the impacts of that much more directly in ways that people across the rest of the state might not fully understand.
So it sounds like a case of, sure, let them send the underprivileged urban kids to those charter schools, but not my kid, not in my backyard.
Possibly. And it does also intersect with a general finding in public opinion about education, which is that people tend to rate their own public schools relatively high, maybe a B average or so. But then if you ask them about public schools nationally, for instance, they'll give them a lower grade.
It is clear, it's been part of the discussion about charter schools, that some of the charter schools in this state are doing not a good job. Do you think the blame then gets put on the community rather than the schools to explain why students are underperforming?
It is interesting that you now see charter school operators and proponents kind of coming back to that. So when, say, the Free Press did its extensive reporting on charter schools and showed that there are a lot of low-performing charter schools in the city of Detroit, you'd hear this response, well, we are educating a huge percentage of low-income students, and they have special needs and this and that. And it resonates with arguments we've been hearing for quite some time from public school districts that face the same challenges. And so I think there's a basic point here that regardless of what type of school you're operating, when you have students who have a lot of needs, it takes a lot to achieve improvement. Now, there are some charter schools and some public schools who are extremely successful with that same population of students. But I don't think we should necessarily look at it and say, charter schools are always more effective and public schools are not. We see effective charter schools, effective public schools. We see ineffective charter schools. We see ineffective public schools.
Sarah, what does your study mean, do you think, for the opponents of charter schools as they go forward with their political agenda?
Yeah, that is a tricky area because we clearly did find that this privatization argument is not resonating. And I think it's striking, especially here in Michigan, we have an unusually high level of for-profit operators. So I would expect it to be more salient here, and it's not. On top of that, there's this challenge of the fact that people appear, at least on a statewide level, to feel some distance from the issue because of the higher prevalence of charters in more urbanized areas. And so, again, you have a challenge for people who want to slow the growth of charters. A third challenge, I would say, is that the politics of charter schools is very hidden. And that gets to that university authorizer question that we included, which we didn't think of as very political, but the vast majority of charter schools are authorized by universities. And so the process by which a university allows a charter to be opened or will review its renewal and decide whether the school can continue operating or whether it's low performing and should be closed, these are not things that are happening in the public eye. It's not going on at your local school board meeting. And in some cases, it's very far from the community where the charter schools operate. So if Central Michigan University has authorized charter schools in Detroit, that decision is being made very far away.
Yes.
So that hidden politics, I think, adds an additional challenge to the opponents of charters.
Sarah Reckow's study appears in Policy Studies Journal. It involved experiments in a survey of more than 1,000 Michiganders. Sarah is an assistant professor of political science at Michigan State. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.